This is the John Clayton Show.
Brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
And good morning, everybody, on this Saturday, a good football Saturday as we get ready for college football. Big Husky game tonight against Utah at 7 o'clock on the road, so that'll be fascinating. Seahawks getting ready to get their last injury report. Right now it doesn't look too good there because they definitely need a win, and right now that could be in jeopardy with all the injuries they've had. But let's get started with the headlines. Well, the Mariners last night get a 5-0 victory over the Los Angeles Angels. It was a bullpen night. They bullpened it. I mean, all the bullpen gets the shutout. They get the 5-0 win. They've won two in a row, but they're still 8.5 games behind the A's. A's continue to win. They get a 2-1 win over Tampa Bay. So the numbers are going out, and chances of making the playoffs are non-existent. They're not just simply not going to happen. Series continues tonight right after 6 o'clock. Pre-game at 5. Gary Hill will be joining us to talk about the Mariners coming up at 9:30. Lots of news on the Seahawk front. Bobby Wagner didn't practice for the second straight day with a groin injury. His status is questionable. They will get the official word after practice today at noon or so, or about 1 o'clock, as a team will then will head over to Chicago. But that's got to be concerning. They have 7 guys on the injured list. Trey Flowers missed with a hamstring injury. KJ Wright not expected to play, more than likely. Same thing with DJ Fluker. So they've got lots of injury concerns right now as they get ready for that game against the Chicago Bears. Made an interesting move. They signed Michael Kendricks, a linebacker. Michael, of course, has been, at least he pleaded guilty to insider trading, is going to be sentenced on January 24th. They get him for a 1-year deal. Amara Darbo comes back, even though he's had surgery and is not going to be able to play this year. They reinstated his contract and then basically said that he'll be on the roster for next year. So they get Darbo back, paying him $578,000 as far as that. That gets a little bit less than that. It'll be 1/78 of 578. And those are our headlines. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's get started with JB in Renton. Hey, JB.
Hey, Mr. Clayton. How are we doing this fine Saturday?
Doing morning, well. How friend? About you?
Doing great. Football is back.
Absolutely. Hey, you got to like that.
Oh, you got to love that. You know, hey, you were talking about, there were a lot of injuries that happened in the first week to some major players.
That's always the case. I mean, I counted up right now that it's slightly ahead of last year. And, you know, what I do is I include missed starts. And so missed starts, there was like about 3 more missed starts. And, again, I include the suspensions and all that, too, because that's going to be part of it. Then eventually I'll break it down just into injuries. But there is like 45 games that will be missed by about 11 players with the suspensions. But now you start to look and you see, you know, a lot of offensive linemen went down. I thought the two teams that got banged up the most were in that NFC South, Carolina and Atlanta, because now you look at what Atlanta lost. I mean, losing Neal and losing Deion Jones, those are the two best young defensive players. And then Devontae Freeman has a knee injury, and he's probably going to miss a couple weeks. That knee injury goes back to last year, and the Carolina Panthers get hit hard too. Darrell Williams, you know, probably rushed back from his knee injury, so he's out for the season with a knee. The left tackle, Matt Khalil, is out, and then Greg Olsen, you know, he gets a re-injury of that Jones fracture. So he's going to miss probably half the season. And then you throw in the fact that they lose one of their offensive linemen. I mean, because they are really in bad shape. 60% of their offensive line is down right now.
Wow. Wow. I mean, just looking at those numbers of all these good players that are out right now, that puts in the tail. What, I know the owners might not do it, but I'm going to just ask this question. Would the owners just consider expanding some of those rosters on game day?
They should. I mean, it was funny because Kyle Shanahan went into that yesterday, and he says that anybody who listens understands that they should expand the rosters. And, of course, I mean, he does that for a reason because, you know, here he is. I mean, he's short on linebackers. He's short on offensive linemen. And so, no, I agree. I mean, it's inevitable that they have to do it. And it doesn't make any sense not to. You're paying these guys. Why should you have to pay for 7 inactives? Is it a matter that, and particularly now that you look at some of these positions, I mean, offensive line, it's hard to find 7 offensive linemen good enough to play, but if you get an injury or two, now you're down to 5 and 4, and you're taking tight ends and putting them in as blockers. That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. It's just unbelievable that what's going on. Now, Mr. Clayton, the big old thing. Can my Saints stop playing defense like a bunch of little third graders? I mean, that was deplorable.
That was awful. I mean, what happened in that game? 40. I mean, how does Ryan Fitzpatrick come into New Orleans and put up 48 points and 417 yards? I don't get it.
I don't get it at all. I don't get it. Now, I'm not going to panic on just week one. I'm going to go ahead and see if they can rectify themselves. They got Cleveland coming into town. Cleveland looked pretty formidable against Pittsburgh. It was a pretty good game. But can they rectify themselves this weekend?
You would hope. I mean, it's like, why they wouldn't, I don't know. I mean, I just can't figure out how they lost.
I know.
They gave up 48 points to Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I know.
Let me repeat that. They gave up 48 points to Ryan Fitzpatrick.
It made it look like he was a Pro Bowl out there, Mr. Clayton. To me, the guy couldn't do no wrong.
I know.
I mean,
it was incredible.
My word.
I mean, this defense was supposedly going to be looking good, right?
It was supposed to be a bunch better than what it was last year.
Yeah.
Last year, I think I would go back to take the last year's defense compared to when I saw that first game. Jesus Louise.
I mean, these look like the defenses, and the way they played was like the defenses in that 7-9 seasons that they had for 3 years in a row.
Yeah. Well, Drew Brees has got to go out there and try to outscore you on every down and every time he gets out on the field.
Right.
Jeez. It started to look back to the old Remnants of doing that. I mean, I guess I'm going to give him this week. See if they can change a few things and get some things going. That was terrible.
Wow,
particularly
absolutely
on the defensive side. That was horrible. Just horrible.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
But there's some good games coming up besides that, Mr. Clay.
Oh,
New England-Jacksonville game. Ooh, down there in Jacksonville.
Well, honestly, I mean, you take a look at it, and of course, we still are waiting for an injury report on Aaron Rodgers, who gets increasingly questionable as far as being able to play. But what you look at is that okay, fine. This is starting to look like two really good games. Green Bay, Minnesota is huge.
Yes.
You know, I was actually debating about driving up there and seeing it. Because I'm flying. I had to change my flight because I screwed up. I had a radio hit tomorrow at 7, and I was supposed to fly out at 7. And so it's like I didn't want to lose that radio hit. So what I did is I'm catching a red eye, which I hate, but at least I'll be there.
Yeah. At least you'll be there. You might want to go drive over there and go check that out. That's going to be pretty. Now, I tell you now, if Aaron Rodgers doesn't go, they're in trouble.
Yeah.
Because their whole offense is geared around Aaron Rodgers.
Agreed.
What he does in the passing game, there's not a big-time running game there. So, I mean, that offense is just geared around him. So, did they say it was just a hyperextended knee that he had? That's what the deal
No,
was?
It's an MCL. I mean, it's a second-degree MCL.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not good. I mean, that's again, Russell Wilson had worse and played with it, but I'm not questioning the dedication or anything else of what you can see from Aaron, because Aaron's really good. But no, I mean, he's got to be able to play, and I think he can. And again, he's going to give it every effort. You know that.
Oh yeah, definitely. He's gonna try, because he knows what he means to that team. He's gonna try to get out there and play.
Right.
I think he's gonna play, but is he gonna be? He's not gonna be 100%, of course. But how do you see that game playing out?
Well, I mean, if he's not there, they lose. I mean, it's pretty simple.
Oh, basically, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, but if he plays, then they have a chance to win. But, he's going to be less mobile. When I went back and I looked at the stats for Russell Wilson, and Russell was able to play with the MCL injury, it took him from week, because remember, this happened in 2016, from week 3, it took him to week 4, week 12, to be able to get better than 3.7 yards a carry. So it's like, because he had an 80-yard game on 10 carries. So that means, you can expect 2.5 months of limited mobility. That's expected.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's what's going to be in the cards. So, but I think he can still function, but now the question is going to be, the only thing that would hold him back are two things. One would be swelling in the knee, and two, pain. Now, he'll tolerate the pain, but the swelling in the knee, if that doesn't subside, then he can't play.
Yeah, that's going to be something that's going to be probably a game-time decision as far as that's concerned.
It'll be a decision today.
Yeah,
they'll decide today. They'll see how he loosens up, and if he does okay, then he'll play him.
Yeah. But another game, Mr. Clayton, another game if you're looking at it. Pittsburgh and Kansas City.
Right.
I tell you, Patrick Mahomes, man, I was impressed.
Awesome. He was fantastic.
I was impressed. I mean, geez. I mean, they're playing the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that one? That one ought to be pretty nice.
Oh, yeah. No, I like Mahomes. I mean, again, I thought they were going to take a little bit of a step back initially. It was going to take him some time, but he did fantastic. He really did.
Yes. especially on the road.
Right.
To come out and do, oh, yeah, he was very fantastic. You know another quarterback I'm about to give you a props on? You and I talked about him in the offseason. Sam Darnold and the Jets.
Yeah.
Wow. I wasn't looking for Detroit to be a juggernaut this year or anything like that. But, boy, just to go there and throttle Detroit the way they throttled them like that, and Sam Darnold go throwing the ball all over the field, I'm impressed with the young man.
No, I am too. See, I thought he was the best quarterback in the draft, and, you know, I never varied. And, you know, now, again, this is, I think, unfair to him. I mean, do you realize what he has to go through? He's coming off a short week on a Monday night game, and then he has to come back and play a Thursday night game. So that's 3 games in 10 days for the youngest quarterback since the merger to start.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. It is. It is. But I tell you, the way their defense is playing good football over there for the Jets, the way they rally around, that helps out a lot. You know, and I tell you, Todd Bowles has done a fantastic job. I thought one of their problems was going to be that their offensive line, how do they have the ability for them to hold up? They've done a fantastic job with that team.
Right, I agree.
They look good. I mean, we might have a contender in the AFC East, Mr. Clayton, with the Patriots. What do you think? Not so fast.
We'll find out today, yeah. But I think they're legit because, I mean, they have 8 Pro Bowlers on defense, Jacksonville, along with Miles Jack, who's playing like a Pro Bowler. That's about as good as it gets. I mean, you look at the 7 or 8 that are on the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, last year Seattle had 8, but they faded with particular injuries and you name it. But, no, I like a lot of what you see there.
Yeah. Now, speaking of Jacksonville, is Leonard Fournette going to be able to play?
I doubt it. Now, he's questionable. It's a game-time decision. You know, that's going to be one of those that really will go to game time from the injuries that were questionable yesterday. But I kind of get the feeling. It's funny. He was getting out that he, like, lost 15 pounds. I talked to somebody, and it said it looked like he actually gained weight.
Yeah.
He's big.
Wow. But let's go right quick to the Hawks. They pick up Hendrickson, the linebacker from Cleveland.
Michael Kendrick,
UFA.
Right. Yeah.
His situation in the NFL, will they levy some kind of suspension on him, or they'll just let the court system run through its course?
Well, I mean, the court system has already run through its course. I mean, he's pleaded guilty.
Yeah.
And so the sentencing is going to be January 24th. What the league's going to do, nobody knows for sure. That's going to be up to the league. But I think what you're looking at is that, you know, that's a very problematic situation. But I think it was a bargain signing for Seattle because, you know, one, they needed linebacker depth, particularly, you know, if they're going to be down 2 linebackers, because we still don't know about Bobby Wagner. But also what I like is that, you know, he's a good football player. I mean, the tailback in Cleveland was that he was starting to beat out Jamie Collins.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the word was. Now you look at another situation that's going on right now. You know, Mitchell Trubisky didn't look too bad against the Green Bay Packers, Mr. Clay.
No, he did not.
No, he got the ball out quick. I thought one of the issues that, you know, Robinson is a pretty good wide receiver. I thought they were going to be lacking in that department. They look pretty good out there, the Chicago Bears. On the defensive side, Akeem Hicks and Khalil Mack make a pretty
good. Yeah, those guys are beasts. They're really good.
Yes, they are. They are. That's going to be very interesting to see how the Hawks' offensive line deal with that defensive pass rusher of the Chicago Bears.
No, the scary part is that when I still look at the whole situation and, you know, so, too many young guys right now. I mean, listen, one more. If it's Bobby Wagner not playing along with K.J. Wright, I don't think they're going to win. Because that's just too much to ask. But that's why they need Bobby Wagner. And again, it's not like he's eliminated from this. It's just waiting to see, you know, if he can, you know, at least get out there and play.
Yeah, definitely. He's got to get out there. Well, you know, Kendricks, like you said, Kendricks is a real good linebacker.
Right.
You know, watching him in Philly, and like you say, he was giving Jamie Collins some trouble over there in Cleveland. I like him. I like him as a linebacker, you know. So for what they got him for right now, I think he can cover up, mask a lot of issues if KJ.
But the big thing is, like, okay, so it was a no lose situation, in the sense that if he gets suspended, if he does, fine. I mean, you move on because his salary will come off the books until he's allowed to come back, and you know his case still has to go till January. I think that it was a bold move to be able to do it. Also, I thought it was interesting that they picked up Amara Darboh and got him back. I thought that was a kind of a good move because now at least you know he'll be able to compete next year.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, JB, I've got to run.
All right, Mr. Clayton, safe travels, my friend. We'll talk next Saturday.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN, John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, more John Clayton on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Raider Jim. Hey, Jim, how are you?
Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing just great, although the Raiders face off against Denver this Sunday, John. I don't think I'm hopeful. I mean,
no.
Fans here that root for the Seahawks already know about the prowess of an edge rusher like Von Miller can have in a game, and especially in September at Mile High Stadium, and now the Silverback must do battle in a similar vein. So I'm a bit worried, John.
You should be. I mean, right now I'm concerned about the whole team in general, don't you?
Right.
I mean, I did not like the Khalil Mack trade. I cannot endorse that. I don't like the idea they have 16 guys in their 30s on this roster.
Right.
That they're the oldest roster, I think, since the 2010 Washington Redskins when Mike Shanahan went to go to the Redskins. And, I don't think you get better by getting older.
Yeah, I agree, John. I agree. Well, we talked a little bit about it when the revelations about the Khalil Mack trade became available to the public. We're all stunned. I mean, even Von Miller admitted he was stunned. And these trades happen, but when they talk about a culture, John, in an organization, and that pundits have been fond of talking about that with sports franchises. Now, this is nothing new in commercial business management practices where a culture has always been something that they've at least talked about. They may not be able to implement some of these things that they'd like to change about their organization. But when you lose such a key piece like that, it sends a message, and I'm not sure the message was the right message to send to this team, which, was marginal at best with all the new influx of personnel, and now have this happen. It just really jogs people, and it shocks them to the sense where they don't perform.
Right.
And then you've got a guy like Derek Carr who has all loads of talent, but he's admitted this is one of his best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's something that you need to think about. And great managers think about these things. And I'm not sure John Gruden has that in his DNA. More reactive and a little bit more emotional and, tends to fly off the handle a bit. And, good. The guy's got brains when it comes to organizing offenses and stuff. But holy smokes, I think this has had it's been a real bad factor in how these guys are going to play going forward, I think, John.
Yeah, I just really question him as the general manager. That's what I think is going to be the sad part.
Yeah, with you, John. We all talk about how these athletes study film, John, to get an advantage or to review tendencies in an opponent. And we saw that hard work pay off last week, John. I mean, obviously, Von Miller studied Russell Wilson's blind shoulder roll when he scrambles, and Miller was wise to it. But, of course, let's not forget that, there's a Hall of Fame quarterback over there in Denver that made that move very effective, none other than John Elway, when he was playing.
Mm-hmm.
It's very similar.
No, I agree.
It didn't surprise me at all when Von Miller did that. He stuck it to Russell. And, I'm a big fan of Russell, but he's probably got to change something like that so that doesn't happen again.
Yeah, but I think you grow from it. I mean, you learn from, things. People are going to pick up things on you. That's just going to be the
course,
nature.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you been listening to some of the interviews that Mike Lombardi has been offering to support his new book and given the business?
No, I haven't heard any. What did he have?
Well, what's great? I mean, look, the guy worked for Al Davis. He worked for Bill Walsh. He's worked for Belichick. And his insights are so great. And, getting back to the Khalil Mack thing, he said namely that it can make sense to trade a future Hall of Famer such as Mack. And more importantly, he thinks that the Raiders could have afforded to pay Mack, how the salary cap works and the spending that goes along with it, because it keeps going up. And I thought that was really interesting because, one of the, everyone's still scratching their head about this.
Right.
How could this happen? And they're coming up with, maybe just the Raiders can't afford it. Lombardi says that's bullhunky. He says they could afford to pay. They just didn't want to pay.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
They were looking at, they've got other things they've got other things to think about. They got Amari Cooper down the road. They got and they can get younger players for cheap going forward, similar vein to what the Seahawks did with Russell Wilson. They had him for 4 years before they had to sign him to a big contract. And that gives you a lot of flexibility in spending to get other players that you need to pay in order to create a team.
Yeah, but of course, what are you paying? Because again, it's like, okay, it's one thing to say you're paying for guys, but you're not going to be able to win through free agency. That's a simple thing. What did they really add of expense that you could say, oh, yeah, boy, that was something that really helped them out?
Well, we don't know that. And that's the thing, too, that's just so baffling is that, you know, there's no return on that investment right now.
Right.
It's a future thing. It's something we're willing to accept going forward, not now. And that's a hard thing for people. I mean, and their track record with the Raiders has not been great, John. I mean, they, you know, when they traded John Gruden to the Buccaneers, you know, they got two players. They were better than decent, but I mean, I can't remember their names,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that's a problem. And people have a problem with that. And I do too, John. I do too.
No, I think that they're in for a tough season. Hey,
yeah.
Jim, thank you for the phone call.
Okay, John, take care.
All right, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Art in Federal Way. Hey, Art.
Hey, good morning, John. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Hey, I want to talk some Seahawks with you this morning. Russell Wilson, you know, I heard they're trying to put him in the pocket more, keep him in the pocket more. Why can't he do some quick releases of the ball on it being snapped within, you know, 2-3 seconds, like I see a lot of other quarterbacks doing around the league, and they get some schemes with, you know, and throw some quick passes, whether it's the running back, the tight end, or a receiver out of the slot. Why can't he do more quick releases instead of scrambling most of the time, which causes more holds?
Well, remember, he's done that. I mean, he's already gone ahead and had those type of things. So that's part of, you know, because remember, he's done this in the past, and I'm sure he's going to do it. I mean, in this particular game, they elected to try to go with more longer passes, and I think that not that it was ill-advisable, but again, it's against what they need to do. So,
you've got to mix some long passes in there, but I just think we ought to do some more quick passes.
I think so too, and then also commit more to the run.
Yeah, that's true. You got to get the running game going.
Yeah, because I mean that was the whole emphasis when they hired Brian Schottenheimer, and they only get 15 carries. That doesn't sell.
Yeah, and what about some of these new kids on the roster, like Will Disley? Is he a real deal? And like then I heard about this new kid, Keenan Reynolds, they signed for the
well, I mean, again, it's like the expectation. I mean, one game or whatever, and one thought is that there's some talent there, and I think, but it takes time, and that's one thing I think that you learned on Sunday, and you may have to learn again on Monday. I mean, there's some talent on this team, but again, when you have young guys out there, they're going to make mistakes, and they're going to make mistakes that could in the end cost you a game or put you in a very difficult position. I still think that this team has a lot of good things working on it. That's encouraging, but you got to go through the youth and get all these guys, particularly knowing that you don't have much time league-wide in training camp or anything like that to work out some of these problems.
Yeah, why didn't they target Disley more in the second half of that game last week?
My guess is they probably tried to cover him a little bit more. And again, remember, he's only on the field for 33 plays. So
that's what I mean.
So, it's like, hey, you can look back and I mean, they were set to probably lose that first game. Because here they were, they had six first-year or rookie players playing 25 or more plays. Three guys, Deion Jordan, Earl Thomas, and J.R. Sweezy, who had probably less than 10 snaps in training camp. So they've had no offseason with these guys. All those guys were out there playing significant times except for Jordan, and they paid a price for it. But again, it's like you get better the second week. They certainly need to.
Yeah, it was great seeing Earl being back in the lineup, especially intercepting that ball right out of the gate.
No, that was very good. And now I think that you go about a month or two and you start to revisit the idea. Maybe you do give him a contract extension. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But I think you take things week by week. But right now, I mean, hey, they're just struggling to get enough guys on the field.
Yeah, that's true. Well, hey, Jim, thanks very much and have a good weekend.
Hey, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to The John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
And joining us is Gary Hill from the Merida broadcast team. We're leading the team and all those things. And, of course, at least the victory was there last night. They now have won two in a row down in Los Angeles. So I guess even though, again, it's pretty grim as far as making the playoffs, there's still a little bit of life with this team.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, the math is against them at this point. It would take something pretty ridiculous the rest of the way to get in, just in terms of, A's would have to lose a ton. They would have to rip off a big winning streak. But it was great to see them win the last couple. It would be nice, playoffs or not, it would be nice to see them finish the season strong It's been a rough few weeks, especially with the offense. It's been great to see the offense kind of come to life the last couple of nights. Some hits, some walks, runs scored. It's been great to see, and good pitching as well. So we'll see if they can continue that on this trip. You know, a couple more here against Los Angeles, and then on to Houston, of course, which won't be easy, and then Texas as well. Long trip to end things, but it would be nice to see them put a nice string together.
Yeah, I guess you could say that now that they have officially not bought into, but now we're trying the bullpenning system by last night getting a shutout with pretty much the entire bullpen.
Yeah, I mean, they pitched great. I don't think it's ever the ideal situation, but it worked out for them last night. Renes Elias was pretty sharp, which is, I guess, always the gamble, right? I mean, you never really know what you're going to get. Elias, for example, is he going to give you a three? Is he going to give you one? You didn't really know going into the game. Scott Service talked about that. He wasn't sure, but and that was pretty much best case scenario. 3 2/3 last night, and it's been really interesting, and it's quite a trend in baseball. We're seeing it more and more, especially in September. There's so many arms that makes it possible that, you know, the Angels did it the night before. Not a lot of success there. The Mariners, of course, did it. The A's have been essentially doing it for a long time. But, yeah, it's an interesting trend, to say the least.
Yeah. I mean, do you like it at all? I mean, I guess in some cases it's in where the game may be going. But, you know, if you don't have the starting pitching or don't have enough healthy starting pitching, I mean, you almost have no choice. But, you know, there's now more teams. Like, for example, the A's, they're out there. I mean, 2/5 of their starting rotation now is bullpenning.
Yeah, I mean, some teams just don't have a choice. And the Mariners, you know, you look at their rotation and you lose Paxton, you lose Felix. The good news is Paxton's coming back. So, I mean, they were in a position where they didn't really have a choice either. So it kind of is what it is at this point. If you don't have the starters, it's what you have to do. I'm not sure long-term, because there's kind of a difference between what Tampa has been doing in terms of having an opener, and then they bring in a guy who can give you 5-6 innings. That's a little different than just a straight bullpen day, and that's what we've seen from the Angels and from what we've seen from the Mariners. So some subtle differences there, but it's interesting to see what teams are doing, utilizing their arms. It's a hard thing to pull off during the course of an entire season. It's easier in September because there's just so many arms that there's guys available every single night. But that may be another conversation about September baseball and kind of adjusting the rules. But it's going to be moving as we go forward with this thing. It's going to be interesting to see how things develop just in terms of, you know, is this something that's going to stick around for a while? Is what Tampa has done this year. That's something that's going to continue to happen with them and with other teams in baseball. It's worked for Tampa this year. It's been effective.
Yeah, no doubt. So now what you're looking at is that as you start to look at some of these guys in the bullpen, I mean, how do you look and start to sort out, you know, who could be back next year or not?
Well, there's some for sures. I mean, Edwin Diaz obviously is coming mm-hmm. back, and you feel great about him in the back end of the bullpen. Colome, who... it was kind of been overshadowed just because of how good Diaz has been, but Colome has been on a long stretch where he has pitched really well. You look at his numbers with the Mariners and ERA above 2.5, you know, 46 Ks and 41 innings. He has been really steady this year for the Mariners. I think you feel great about him coming back as well. So you're in a good situation, I think, with the ninth and the eighth inning. That's a great place to start going into next year. And there's some question marks. Obviously, I mean, there are some guys coming back. Nicasio is one. If he can get healthy and back to where he was the year before with St. Louis, and you feel great about that. Pittsburgh as well. You feel really great about that. But with the surgery, there's some question marks there. But you have the basis of a pretty good bullpen to start from. You have some good pieces to start from, and I think in the offseason, they'll obviously try and add to it. I mean, there's, you know, Nick Vincent is still going to be there, which I think you feel good about. You know, question marks about Altavilla, for example. He's under contract. Some of the other guys, you know, Warren and Duke were rentals at this point. But I think there's a good starting point with the bullpen going into next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course, I guess the one thing that they are trying to do is make sure they kind of watch now the innings down the stretch with Diaz, because Edwin has pitched so well and he's above where he was last year, and you don't want to do too much, but that could jeopardize his chance and probably has of getting the record for saves.
Yes, I agree with that. They're not going to push it with Edwin Diaz the rest of the way. If they're in a save situation, and Scott Service talked about this yesterday, if they're in a save situation, he will pitch, but don't expect to see him in a tied game, for example, or something like that. They're not going to push him. Don't expect to see him 4 days in a row, maybe even 3 days in a row the rest of the way, because, you know, at this point, it's hovering at 69 innings. I mean, he has had a marvelous season, and, you know, it's not worth pushing it to get the saves record, and really, he'd have to get the opportunities as well, which you don't know if he'll get that anyway to try and get the record. But he has just had a marvelous season. And it's interesting to compare him to other great reliever seasons down through history. And he's up there. He has had, put the saves aside for a second. It's a huge number. But you look at the strikeouts, 119 strikeouts in 69 innings, an ERA under 2. The most impressive part about the season to me is all the one-run saves along the way. I mean, no margin for error. A lot of the times that he has stepped out of the bullpen, and he has come through just about every single time. No matter how you slice up his season, it has been a dominant season and really one of the best reliever seasons in baseball history. And what's interesting about that is the American League has seen two of those years, because Trinan has had a similar kind of season in Oakland, and it's happened in this division. Trinan and Diaz, two of the best reliever seasons in baseball history, and they've come in the same division and two teams that have battled this year all season, which is interesting.
Yeah, no doubt. What do you see from the Angels? They kind of look a little lifeless, don't they?
Yeah. So a team hovering near 500, we haven't seen that the last couple of days. They're a team that's just been decimated. They have used so many players this year and so many different pitchers. Oh, 36 different pitchers, or 35 different pitchers this year, which is just a ton. When it's all said and done, they're only going to have one qualified pitcher, meaning only one pitcher that gets to 162 innings this year. There's some real questions moving forward. And, you know, there's rumors circulating down here about they're going to try and ink Mike Trout to a lifetime contract, in which it would obviously be great for them, best player in the game at this point. But they have some question marks beyond Trout. You know, Otani is going to DH next year because of Tommy John. They've had so many injuries the last few seasons with starting pitchers, and it's been a trend for them. They've only had one qualified pitcher each of the last 3 years. I don't know where they're at or what to expect from them starting next year. And they have some pieces with Trout. Pujols is going to be asked to play first base the entire season next year. Their bullpen has struggled the last couple of years. The rotation has struggled. So they have some questions, no doubt about that.
Yeah, and what I wonder, I mean, with Otani, I just got the feeling that they kind of rushed him back, don't you, in both categories, both the hit and the pitch, and now it looks like they may have sacrificed his ability to pitch for more than a year.
I will say that, and who knows, maybe he gets hurt either way. I will say I was surprised that he was pitching again this year. I thought they would just shut him down pitching-wise for the rest of the year and just use him as a hitter, so I was surprised at that. But, I mean, you never know with those things. That could have same thing could have happened with Tommy John next year if he tries to come back. So there's no way to really predict that at this point. But yeah, it looks like he's going to be lost pitching wise for the season next year. He will hit next year, but again, the situation, you know, Albert Pujols has not moved around very well the last couple of years, and he just had knee surgery. He had elbow surgery as well. Asking him to play first base every day, I think it's going to be a lot to ask, but they really have no choice because Otani can't throw. He can't play in the field next year. DH is really the only option. And from what we've seen with him at the bat, they're going to want him and need him in the lineup next year on a consistent basis. So we'll see how it plays out. It's too bad for them. It's too bad for baseball I know it was hard to watch from a Mariners perspective because they were all in on getting Ohtani, but he really was, his talent, really good for baseball. Just the unique pitching, hitting, everything about him. It's too bad we won't see him on the mound for a while.
No, that is. That's just a really bad thing, and that's just sorry to see. All right, so from the batter standpoint, last week or so, who's starting to step up and do a little bit more for the Mariners?
Well, a little bit of everything, which has been good. You know, what I'm interested watching the rest of the way is I want to see Nelson Cruz get to 40 again. He's kind of in one of those grooves. You look up at his numbers, and here he is, 36 home runs. It'd be fun if he could get to 40. It'd be his fourth 40-plus home run season in his career, which is remarkable. That'd be the second most among active players. You know, Ryan Healy has had a really nice run, and it's been kind of quiet. But, and Mike Lowers was talking about this last night, how impressed he's been with Ryan Healy, who's really gone through some struggles this year, but picked up a big base hit last night. You know, he's sitting on 25 home runs. You know, an average, he could get up to 250 depending on what happens the rest of the way. I think you'd like to see a few more base on balls as well, but, you know, he's made some strides, which is great to see. And Mitch Haniger continues to be the story for me this year. He has been phenomenal this season, both offensively and defensively. They've asked a lot defensively. He's played tremendous right field. He's played center field at times. But you just look at his numbers all the way around. You know, he's career high in on base percentage. His batting average right around his where it was last year, batting about .280 coming into the game tonight. You know, 24 homers. He's driven in a ton of runs. He's over 30 doubles. He has answered a lot of questions. We saw flashes last year and, of course, had the injuries, so didn't play quite 100 games. But he has answered a lot of those questions this year. He has been fun to watch. He has hit at every spot of the order. He is really a guy that does a little bit of everything. He can run. He can field. He's got all the tools, and he's been magnificent. A great season for him, and I'm looking forward to watching him next year as well in a Mariners uniform.
All right, well, good stuff, Gary. Game time tonight will be a little bit after 6 o'clock with the pregame in, about, in the 5 o'clock hour. So Anaheim or down there for the Los Angeles Angels, and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, anytime, John. It's always fun to talk.
All right, he sounds good. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Update from Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers did practice today. They're listing him as questionable. It'll be a game time decision. Hey, now there's a better chance he might be able to play against Minnesota. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com. Now, more John Clayton.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Tara in Mercer Island. Hey, Tara, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Based on Doug Baldwin being out for a while, which wide receivers do you see starting and making the jump to be good?
I think that Brandon Marshall might edge out Jaron Brown. I think Jaron Brown. I think that could be where it's going to go because you know Tyler Lockett's going to start, but you know, and I think they'll mix it because I don't know, you know, if Marshall's ready for the entire game. I mean, that may be a lot to ask coming off the two surgeries he's had on his leg. And I think they'll mix it. They'll do three receiver sets. It'll be interesting to see who's going to get the slot work if they're going to put Keenan Reynolds out there for a little bit because I mean he can be pretty good in the slot. But you know they'll at least they have Reynolds now available for slot work. You know, you may see some Tyler Lockett in there, but hey, it's hard to replace Doug Baldwin. I mean, he's a pro bowler and has meant so much to this team.
Yeah, it is really hard to replace Doug Baldwin. But when Brandon Marshall was with the Jets, he was the number one wide receiver, so I think he can step up. And even on the sidelines, he has a good chemistry with Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want to see Tyler Lockett take the next step. He's a younger wide receiver, but it's fourth year now, and it's kind of time for him to show what he's made of.
Yeah, and of course now more is going to be asked of him because, I mean, technically you can say he's the number one receiver on the team because now, you know, with Baldwin gone and him being the starter, you know, he has to take up that slack and do as good of a job as he can. So, yeah, there's a lot of pressure on him, and he's got to try to respond. I agree.
I also think that they need to get more involved in the running game and use more of the tight ends. Will Dissly looked really good. He's pretty fast for a tight end.
Mm-hmm. No, and Dissly kind of reminds me like of a faster version of Zach Miller. I mean, you know, he hit it immediately because, I mean, he came in and he looked great. So I think that that's an encouraging thing that, you know, they've got him. And that's the thing. I mean, long term, I think everything's going to be fine. But it's a matter of getting through this short term with so many young guys and so many question marks. And that's where I think that, you know, this could be a tough game in Chicago. And you look at that injury list with the seven guys that didn't practice yesterday. That's going to be big and concerning because, I mean, there's so many key guys. I mean, if they don't have Bobby Wagner, that could be devastating.
Yeah. And that could be really devastating because Shaquem didn't have that great of a game. And if you have KJ and him out, either Austin Calitro will have to play in the middle or him.
No, I agree. I mean, so they definitely have a bunch of issues in this game. There's no doubt. They've got to try to, just hunker down. But again, that's going to be the challenge. And you knew it was going to be a challenge with such a young group. And so that young group now has to really step forward and do as best they can. But, I still think there's good talent on this team. 0-2 start would be difficult. But I think that you can see scheme-wise, they've got to try to accomplish what they wanted. And what they wanted to do was run the football, move the chains, do all those things, all the things that they didn't do last year and all the things that they need to do now.
Yeah, and I want to address Russell being in the pocket. I kind of like him staying in the pocket a little bit more because that proves he's more of a lead. Sometimes on the TV, it shows how fast Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees gets rid of the ball, and he can work on getting rid of the ball a little bit faster, but Russell is the best on the offense, and that's what you need to do.
Right. No, that's where I think that they have to. I mean, again, they have the ability to do it. Say what you want. Last year it was last week it was a scramble in that game. They still took the lead in the fourth quarter. I think the weather conditions played against them. Their mistakes played against them. Now, when going to Chicago, they just can't make those mistakes. They've got to play as error-free football as possible. They've got to win the turnover battle. You know, because I thought they won the turnover battle, and I thought that was going to be enough to win the game. Unfortunately for them, they lost by 3. Hey, Tara, thank you so much.
Thank you.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Jeff in Owala. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, good morning. I want to be positive about the Mariners, so I'm happy they're going to win over five, win as many games as they've won this year. And the amount of play we got out of Haniger, Healy, Nelson Cruz. But I am so disappointed in our second baseman. Because I don't think the guy showed any kind of real contrition to the fans or the organization. You know, he sucked it up, lost $12 million, came back. And, you know, he's supposed to be the representative of our team. He's supposed to be the leader.
Mm-hmm.
You've got him and another leader on our team, Felix, who's I think he's just lost it mentally. He just doesn't have it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt with about a 5.8 earned run average, you know, something is amiss. I don't know. I mean, I think from the leadership standpoint, they're fine with him. I think with Cano. I mean, because again,
I just can't see a major league team winning with a catcher that hits below 190.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about Zunino. Yeah, Zunino. That's tough. I mean, he's so good with the pitchers.
And a third baseman who's owed $57 million over the next 3 years, hitting .217.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man, it's just, you know, I think we wasted the chance this year.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, this was such a bad tease in the standpoint that, they were out there with a great chance to win. I mean, they were 11.5 games above the A's. They were 24 to 25 games above .500. Everything looked fantastic. Then all of a sudden, as soon as they hit July, everything fell off the rails.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm surprised we didn't pick up any kind of starting pitcher.
Well, it wasn't easy. I mean, there wasn't a lot available, unfortunately. And let's put it this way. When you're so strapped in the minor leagues, it's going to be hard to be able to do that.
Well, what gets me is, I mean, I don't see him repeat, you know, I think I talked about this earlier. They're having kind of a above the norm season in terms of wins. I don't see this being repeated next year.
No, I think because again, and I think because I thought this was going to carry to next year, not this year. When you win as many close games as they did in the first half of the season, that usually catches up to you the next year, and you don't win as many games. I mean, that's happened with Philadelphia years ago. The certainly the Arizona, the Diamondbacks, and that, and now you can see it's going to happen with this team. And so, you know, the fact that here's a team at 81 wins right now, you know, they're not going to have a losing season. They're at 81, and so. That's good, and they may win 87, 88 games, but next year they're probably not going to win as many unless they make some renovations and changes and things like that.
We'll have to be like the Cub fans. Just wait till next year.
I know. It's not fun to say, but it's reality. Hey, thank you for
the phone
call. Thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.